favored chapter. I mean, John is such an awesome book. The Bible's just full, of course, of awesome books. But John's gospel, and John really, again, we saw how he speaks about Jesus from heaven, like he's God, he's with God, he's creator, he has life and light. John testified that he's the Lamb of God that'll take away the sins of the world, that he was the one that's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Very spiritual, very heavenly view of who Jesus is. And he continues, Jesus now talking about himself and about what he knows and what he sees. And he's really talking about heaven. I don't know, you know, if you've been to many places where, you know, people are talking about death and what have you, but everyone always says they're going to a better place, right? And I wish that were always true, but I'm telling you it's not. You know that. It's not always true. People talk about heaven, but you know what? They don't know anything about heaven. That's a problem. And then you've got all these weird religions out there that have all kinds of ideas about what happens to us, you know, after we die. Most of it is absolute nonsense. All of it, for the most part, is nonsense because nobody knows what they're talking about except Jesus. And that's where this text comes, you know, very important, that, you know, God wants people in heaven. What does Jesus call it? The kingdom of God. He doesn't call it heaven. He calls it the kingdom of God, a place where God reigns and rules over his people in a place of peace and joy and God's presence everywhere, a very blessed, blessed place to be indeed. And my question is, are you on your way to entering into the kingdom of heaven? Are you on your way to entering into the kingdom of God? And that's what Jesus basically talks to Nicodemus, a Jewish leader, about. So there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you've come from God as a teacher, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God and being born again are linked together. You cannot separate the two. And Nicodemus didn't want to show Jesus respect by seeing him in the daylight and, you know, like listening to what he had to say. People saw that and say, "Well, Nicodemus, you're supposed to be a leader. Why are you letting this guy talk to you?" So he goes at night, but he also acknowledges Jesus is a legitimate teacher. The last couple of verses in chapter 2 explain that Jesus did miracles in Jerusalem. And that's where, you know, he's talking to him after he's seen his miracle. He says, "We know that you're a teacher from God because the works that you're doing, we see that," right? Well, Jesus speaks to him again. We talked about this. You know, prophets spoke as God spoke to them, and then they spoke, right? Jesus speaks as God. And so when Jesus speaks, he says, you know, "Verily, verily," and actually it is amen, amen, right? Amen, amen. It means true, true. This is absolute truth, right? That's what he's saying. And he says, basically, you need to listen to the word of God. That's what he's telling Nicodemus. He says, "I know this is the word of God." He says, "I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God." The idea is, again, I said, the kingdom of God is the place where God reigns. It is the place where Jesus is king. You know, we see that picture at the end of Revelation, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Well, where is he, King of Kings, Lord of Lords? In the kingdom of God. Right? He's called the Prince. It's an everlasting kingdom. It's not a kingdom that's something that is going to come up and fall down. Every kingdom in this world rises and falls, right? And you go through history, you see that. There's an absence of rebellion in the kingdom of God. There's not going to be any sin. There's not going to be people challenging God, questioning the leadership. Can you imagine that? A place where people don't question leaders. Why? Because it's God. You know, you're not going to question. You're not going to be having, you know, people on CNN and Fox barking at each other about how terrible their leaders are. It's going to, all that's settled because we have the great God and we have Jesus Christ ruling over us and we all get our place and it'll be perfect, right? It's going to be a perfection of Eden. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's a perfection of Eden. I just think about the pastoral sense of Eden, a place where it was a garden that needed to be tended, and Adam was there to be the priest of the garden, but God was also there. And I think of the glory of the kingdom of God being a place that's like pastoral and pleasant and no fears, no troubles, no real trials going on, anything like that. God's presence in everything we do is worship. Everything we do is walking with God. It is God, as we talked about Jesus tabernacling, God tabernacling, covering his people, right? And it is for God's children. Got to know that. It's for God's children. It's not for everybody. See, some people want to say, oh, no, everybody gets to go. No, kingdom of God is for God's children. Remember chapter 1, verse 12, it says that Jesus has the power to give authority for us to become children of God. And what do children of God do? They go to the kingdom of God. That's what we're talking about here, right? So again, to be born again means to be born as a child of God. To belong to God now, not when we die. See, that's why people live terrible lives. And they do terrible things, and then they die, and everybody, oh, now they're going to a better... No! A child of God is a child of God now, and they're doing the things that God wants now. They don't become a child of God when they die. You become a child of God when Jesus Christ becomes your Savior, right? And so you're being born again, born of God, born of the kingdom of God. We belong to Him. We belong... in all that he has promised, because we're his, right? So that's the first part of what we talk about when we talk about born again. But Jesus goes into a lot more of it. Nicodemus doesn't get it. Born again. What do you mean, Jesus? He says, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Right? It's kind of, he obviously doesn't get it. And Jesus answered again, truly, truly, or amen, amen. Right? This is the word of God. Every time Jesus opens his mouth, it's the word of God. The best revelation we have of God, Jesus Christ, says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So here, and there's a debate about water. What does it mean? And to me, it's not that important, because what he's really talking about is you need to be born of the Spirit. Right? And he says, what is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is spirit. What born again means is there's a spiritual rebirth. Now, some people think the water birth is, like we got two ladies that are waiting for the water to break so their child can come out, right? So that's one way of looking at it. The other people think that it's baptism. But I don't think that matters, because that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about being spiritually reborn. And I tell you, there is nothing in this world as awesome as being spiritually reborn. And I pray that you've all had that experience. It was a thing, I think, in the 80s and 90s. They talked about being born again and the born again experience. But I'm telling you, you need to be born again. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. You need, when you call upon Christ, to know that that power is not just here in your head, and it's not just words in a book, but it's actually something that enters into you and changes who you are and makes you spiritually a child of God. Remember, Jesus has authority to make children of God. How does he do that? Well, faith, we'll see that in a minute, but also the Spirit of God. Paul says it goes so far to say, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. He's called the Spirit of God. He's called the Spirit of Christ. He's called the Holy Spirit. And what's born of the Spirit is spirit. And Paul tells us flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Yeah, I remember one day I'm praying, God, I just want to see you. I want to actually, be in your holy presence. And it dawned on me, I can't, because I'm still in the flesh. And when I take this off, then as a child of God, spiritually, I'm a spiritual person. I'm not this, flesh and blood. This goes away. He says we get a new body. I'm hoping I'm a little bit taller, you know, blonde hair, you know, yeah. But the idea is that the spiritual rebirth that we need in order to get into the kingdom of God, you're not going to the kingdom of God without it. That's not my words. That's God speaking. Jesus, God speaking. You must be born again or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. He said earlier, you cannot see the kingdom of God. We need to be born again. So he said, don't be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. Now, the thing is, you can talk about this and I can tell you, you need to get born again. But you know what? I can't make you born again and neither can you. Yeah, remember what he said in chapter 1 about being a child of God. He says it's not done by the will of the flesh. It's not done by the will of man, but it's done by the will of God. Now, here's the good news for those of you who know exactly what I'm talking about, that you have that experience in your life. If you are born again, if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, if you have the Spirit of God in you, the Holy Spirit, if you're born again, right, that means what? God has made you born again. He's brought you to himself. It's awesome, isn't it? It's awesome, yeah. And so he says, the wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but don't know where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. In other words, how did it happen? I remember one time I had these very powerful experiences when God made me born again. He had to move me from a long way. I was so far off, he had to do miracles to get me back where I was supposed to be, right? Yeah, and so he did all these great things. And one day I was in Bible college. I'm walking down a road and I'm thinking, I haven't had that same experience, that I used to have. And God, trying to think, what did I do to do that? What did I do to get to where I had that spiritual experience with God? And I realized, well, I was a mess. I was out. I was too far away from God. I wasn't walking with God. I wasn't loving God. I was a disaster. And I didn't say, well, I guess I don't want to go back there. God, when it was his time, his will, he moves in our lives. He changes us. I love so much when I hear somebody talk about, I like when people talk about the Bible, they talk about, but when someone starts telling me about the change that God made in their life, say, Pastor, I don't talk the way I used to talk. I don't yell the way I used to yell. I don't do the things I used to do. Something's happened in my life, and I think God's been just doing stuff. I say, yeah. That's born again. That's you. The Spirit of God's at work in you. The Spirit of God's changing you and making you not a person of the flesh, but a child of God, a child who belongs to God now and belongs to God forever in the kingdom of God. It is really awesome to be born again. So Nicodemus, still a little confused, Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things?" See, listen, the problem with the teacher of Israel was they always were forced by God. They had the law. The law couldn't get inside. The law couldn't change a heart. And Jesus, his favorite quote, one of the things he quoted often was, "I wish you'd go learn what it means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Mercy meaning something changing inside of you. Sacrifice meaning going to church, right? God doesn't, going to church should lead to mercy, should lead to change in your heart and in your life and encouragement in your faith, right? But if you're just going to church and you don't have that change, it's not working. And that's the law had that effect on people. They couldn't do it. They couldn't get right. They couldn't get their heart right. They couldn't get their mind right. Now, there were some that were faithful under the law and did all right, but none of them did as well as someone who was born again. And that's what he's telling, Nicodemus. Nicodemus, didn't you see this coming? The idea that God was going to do a deeper work in people, that it wasn't going to just always be words outside on a stone tablet, but it was going to be something written in your heart, something written in who you are, and a transformation of you spiritually. I don't understand, Nicodemus, you don't get that. He says, "Truly I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. Now, this is something we need to remember. People get very confused about Jesus, right? I mean, John has tried to clear this up as much as possible. He calls him God. He calls him creator. He says he possesses life. And here he's saying, you want to talk about everlasting life? You want to talk about life? You want to talk about heaven? You want to talk about who goes to heaven? I'm not telling you what I think. I'm not telling you what I suppose. I'm telling you what I've seen and what I know. Nobody else. Nobody else in the history of humanity can do that. Nobody else can tell you like Jesus. Because Jesus, and he says that. He says, you know, I tell you what we know. I tell you what I've seen. You don't accept it. That's the saddest thing, isn't it? When we know that Jesus is true and Jesus' words are truth and that he's telling us what nobody else can tell us and say, oh, no, I've got my own religion. I've got my own way of thinking. I've got my own style, you know. Because they don't know. Your other religion, they don't know. Your styles and the things of the world, they don't know. Jesus knows. He knew. He's telling Nicodemus, I'm telling you what I know and I'm telling you what I saw. And he said, if I tell you earthly things and you don't believe it, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? This is an interesting thing. You do realize what he's talking about, being born again, right? That's earthly. That's earthly. You know what's heavenly? Glorification. Amen. Glorification. We haven't seen that, you know. And Paul was able to tell us a little bit about it in 1 Corinthians 15. But I mean, we're just talking about being saved. We're just talking about living a life in a busted world. But we're being fixed by God and the renewal of Christ inside of us. And that. And he's saying, you know, he said, listen, you know, if I told you about heavenly things, you'd probably fall apart, Nicodemus. You know, no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Now, if you remember, we talk about the Son of Man. Daniel chapter 7, the Son of Man. Son of Man is one of the most powerful images of God in the Old Testament. The Son of Man approaches the throne of God, the Father, right? And as he approaches the God the Father, he is given glory, he is given dominion, and he is given a kingdom that lasts forever. That's who the Son of Man is. Jesus calls him one of his titles for himself. I mean, you got, you know, Christ, you got God, you got the Son of God. Son of Man was one of those titles. And it is a massively powerful title because it gives him the kingdom of God. It gives him the everlasting kingdom, right? And he says, the only one that can tell you about the kingdom of God, if you will, the King of the kingdom of God. Jesus, the Son of Man. The most interesting part about Daniel 7, I just have to sneak into that for just a second, is when they explain the vision, everything that was given to the Son of Man is given to the saints. You realize that when we belong to Jesus, when we are born again, we belong to Jesus and we belong to his kingdom and we belong to the kingdom of God. We belong to heaven. Again, it doesn't happen after you die. It happens now. It's in us. It's with us, right? Now, and he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. Now, you know the story about the serpent, Numbers 21? The people of God, the people of Israel, were complaining about God again. Why'd you bring us out in this desert? You just brought us out here to kill us. You're no good, Moses. And I tell you, you're not listening to God, or God's no good. That's literally what they were saying. And it says God sent snakes. He sent fiery serpents, they're called. And they started biting people. And they were dying. It was killing them. The snakes were killing them. And God was upset because they were mumbling and grumbling about him. Then the people began to cry out to Moses, Moses, please forgive us. We've sinned against God and the snakes are killing us. And the Lord told Moses, take a serpent made of bronze and put it on a staff and hold it up in front of the people. And anybody that looked, and that snake, even though they'd been bitten, would not die. And Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up that serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What's killing people? What's killing people? Sin. Sin is making people perish. People, I mean, seriously, listen, people come, I've heard it too many times, and sometimes, you know, listen, if you're not a child of God and not walking with God, do not ask me to do your funeral, because I will not lie. I have stood and told people, you know, the truth. I've had people kind of look at me after and say, man, you are brave. I'm not brave. I'm a servant of God. And I'm telling you, you do not get to the kingdom of heaven unless you know the King of heaven, Jesus. And he said, listen, the thing that's killing people is sin. The thing that's making people perish is sin. They live under their own ideas. They ignore God. They ignore Jesus. And they walk their own ways. And they destroy their homes. They destroy their relationships. They destroy everything. They're greedy and hateful. That's why this world is in such a mess. And I tell you, it's not getting any better. A world that embraces all kinds of abominable behaviors and ideas. It's disgusting. I mean, it has changed in my lifetime to a degree that if you were transported from 1950 to today, you would not believe that this was the same place. The values are gone. The world is perishing. The world is perishing, right? He said, just as Moses lifted up that snake, he said, the Son of Man must be lifted up. He took on sin, and he became the image of God's wrath against sin. And everyone that looks upon him, just like those people bitten by a snake, looked upon that snake. He says, you look upon Jesus, and you will be saved. You will be healed. You will be given eternal life. You don't get eternal life here. You get eternal life when you're in the kingdom of God. You get eternal life by being with God. You get eternal life by being a child of God. Sin is killing us. And Jesus, who became sin for us, was lifted up. This time of year, when we're looking at the cross on Friday, we're looking at the resurrection on Sunday, this is the gospel message. Without Jesus, right, we wouldn't have a chance of eternal life. Without Jesus, you don't have a chance to say, I'm in a better place. You know, it's only through Jesus you go to a better place. By the way, we're also better people. Amen. We don't share the values of the world. Our homes are safe from the world, right? We don't raise our children the way other people raise their children. We don't do the things that destroy life. We do the things that encourage life and build it up. And you can have generational blessing within a home, right? By being in Christ and having Christ in you. You can have that, right? But the world is perishing. Now, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Faith in Jesus rescues the perishing. That's it. No other way to have life. No other way to go to a better place. No other way to belong to the kingdom. When we believe in Jesus, when we look at Jesus Christ, our Savior, and we believe in him, we trust. I tell the kids all the time, when you look at the, you know, what does it mean to believe in Jesus? It means when Jesus died, it changed things for me. He wiped away my sin. He wiped away my ignorance. He wiped away my blindness, my sickness. I'm no longer perishing. But I'm alive in Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. The word might is a very important thing. It's not that the world is saved, but we have the possibility of salvation because of Jesus. Without Jesus, there's no hope. Without Jesus, there's nothing. He who believes in him is not judged. Listen, this is a day. I always tell this to folks. This today is a day of salvation. There's a day ahead that is a day of judgment. We know this world is in a mess. We know this world is perishing. And there's a day where all those who are worldly, all those who are in darkness, those who don't believe, there's a day of judgment for them. They'll be condemned, as this text tells us. But today isn't that day. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day where we can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as we're breathing, as long as we're living, there's an opportunity for us to say, yes, I believe in Jesus. I believe that his death means something. It's powerful and able to wash away sin and able to make me a child of God, right? He who believes in him is not judged. I like that. Say that again. He who believes in him is not judged. You could say not condemned, meaning that God doesn't look at you as you. He looks at you as a child of God, born through the Spirit, through the faith in Jesus Christ. That's how he looks at us. You are in Christ. You are born in Christ. You have the Spirit of God, right? He who does not believe is judged already. Paul talks about the gospel is preached, and people, some of them really like, oh, that's life, and some of them, it's death. But it doesn't come right away. This is still a day of salvation. There's always time while we're walking about to call on the name of Jesus and be saved, right? So look at this. This is just a way of looking at this. What's Jesus talking about? Jesus came from heaven. He came from the kingdom of God. And he's telling Nicodemus what needs to happen in order for someone to enter into the kingdom of God. If you stay in the world ignoring Jesus and rejecting Jesus, you're going to remain in the flesh. The flesh cannot, by itself, do what's right. The flesh must have something to change it. Laws and rules and things won't do it. Only the Holy Spirit. Only the faith in Christ, bringing the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that can change your flesh. People that stay in the world and are worldly, they don't know God. They think they do. They'll talk about him in ignorance. It's sad to hear it. It's foolish. And a lot of messages out in this world by ignorant people who don't know God. They remain without eternal life. They're perishing. And eventually they'll be condemned. That's not me. I pray that's not you, right? You ain't kidding. Yeah. No, those who are in Christ Jesus are born of the Spirit. They know God. They possess eternal life and are not judged. That only comes to us by faith in the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's Jesus' words about who's going to heaven.